It's the 12th of March, right? And the semester, we're at week seven, can you believe it? And next week is spring break, and we will have our second exam at the end of next week, so you won't have to think about anything while you're on spring break, because you don't think about anything having to do with school anyway, so might as well make it so you don't have to, because you won't. But some of you will, because you're awesome, but that's okay. So we're going to continue with chapter 6, and this is again, another chapter where we do our best to have fun, although not so much fun, because many of you just love your cars, right? You just love your cars. I'm going to throw something at you to make you feel bad about cars. No, I'm not necessarily trying to do that. And normally we don't have a joke today, so we're not going to have a joke. But we will take a look at a time when there was no gas. You guys weren't alive, but I was. In fact, that was the year I graduated from college. And 1979, I graduated from college. There were computers then, folks. How did I get around? I had a bicycle. And I already had a job when I got out of college. I was a math major. I was working at a math firm. And I rode about 10 miles to work, and they thought I was nuts. They thought I was absolutely crazy. Young goofball getting on a bicycle. And then the gas disappeared. Notice the price? 87 cents. You see, people were really pissed off. The gas was going up and up and up, and the gas company was saying, look, we need to charge $1 a gallon. And they're saying, no, you're not. And they said, okay, fine. We're not going to supply it. We're just going to sit on it. And you see these long lines. And that was me, riding my bike past one of these long lines, and my boss was sitting in his Corvette, Dr. Henry Richardson, and he's reading a newspaper, waiting for gas, and I rode past and said, hi, Dr. Richardson! I immediately became a rock star, and all these paunchy PhDs, I was math degree, my undergraduate degree is mathematics, Bachelor of Arts, I wasn't one of the PhD associates. All of a sudden, I became really popular, and the conference room filled up with bicycles, and they're asking me about how to fix a flat, and where do you get those little things to go around your pants so they don't get caught in the chains. And some of these people were riding 3 miles to work, and they couldn't believe it. They were riding 3 miles. It really was fast. It didn't take very long to get to work. And then 3 weeks later, the price of gas hit $1, and all of a sudden there was gas again, and all the bicycles disappeared except for mine. Cool? Okay. Can you ride a bike? Yes, you can. Alright. Normally what we do, we start off with a video that shows you how serious cars are. But I'll show it to you a little later because it's a bit of a bummer. It's a bit of a bummer. But it's very important. Let's show it. I've been showing it now for 10 years. Every time I see it, I still choke up. It still hits me like a ton of bricks. Because do you think about... Oh, damn internet exploiter. Okay, it's working. Do you think about the damage you can do when you get behind a wheel of a car? Do you? Well, in the state of Victoria, Australia, they had a small estate in Australia, they had a very big problem. Even though it was a small state in Australia, they had the highest per capita death in motor vehicle accidents. And we tend to think we're big drinkers. Australia makes us look, you know, like they have competitions on how much you can drink there. So they started this public education campaign in 1989. In 20 years, they had dropped it in half. Dropped the number of deaths in half. Some of this is real footage. Most of it is staged. So, no joke today, sorry. And pretty amazing, isn't it? It worked. It worked. It dropped. So, on the website, wonderprofessor.com, is a link to the AAA, where is it? Take the Pledge. Take the Pledge, AAA. And you will never drive drunk, drive under the influence. Cool? Is that cool? Will you do that for me? Yeah? And this is cute. How do you get young people to stop texting and driving? How do you do it? Well, Belgium had a great idea. Make them do it. So we'll end with something a little funny, a little cute.
Tu dois pouvoir envoyer un SMS et éviter dans le sac, mais pas ça à côté.
Il y a beaucoup qui vont cracher avec ça.
Je veux bien croire, hein. Voilà, quand j'ai SM, je vais chercher des clés. Regarde tout ce qu'on s'en va.
Ah
oui. Voilà, nous entrerons en retard ce soir. Et attention que je corrige les fautes à faire. Regarde comment tu mets tes choses. Je suis de retour ce soir. Oh, le cancer. Ah oui, là, ça me parlait, hein. Bon, imagine cet enfant. Ah, vas-y. 400.
Honnêtement, j'ai l'impression d'être un crevage, je ne sais pas du tout combien.
Voilà, voilà, exactement.
Tu t'es écrit n'importe quoi.
Tu ne vas pas compléter.
À cause de ça,
oui.
Mais c'est dans le bleu, si vous faites, si la loi passe, je roule bleu.
Non. Tu tournes, oui, mais. Regarde la route.
Mais on ne les arrive pas.
Il va y avoir des tués.
Il va y avoir des tués, hein.
Il va y avoir des morts sur les gauches.
Je ne sais pas conduire, attraper mon GSM. Moi, je ne sais pas faire les deux, quoi.
Là, c'est trop dangereux.
Cute? Cute? Okay. So, is it important that you take your driving seriously?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so stop preaching. Now, you are not what you... Oh, I forgot to turn the... Go away. Okay, that should have stopped. Is that mine? What is it going on now? What's going on? Oh. Okay, you are. See, I would have called this chapter. You are not what you drive. Are you what you drive? Well, many people do believe that. I have a buddy who just loves driving. But let's start with some statistics. 49% of motor vehicle trips are 3 miles or less. Now, how long does it take you to walk 3 miles? Yeah, an hour, some people faster, 15, 20 minutes a mile. If you do that 3 times a week, walk to work and back, walk to school and back, you will have all the cardiovascular exercise you need. You won't have to go to the gym. Right? And the PhD associates couldn't believe that they could ride their bike 3 miles. They could walk 3 miles. 2 miles or less, or 40%, and one quarter are people just going 1 mile, which people think, oh, that's so far. It's not that far. The average American uses as much energy as 3 Japanese, 13 Chinese, 153 Bangladeshis, or 499 Ethiopians. Gas mileage decreases rapidly once you get above 50 miles an hour. So assume that for every 5 miles you're driving over the 55 mile an hour speed limit, but 55 miles an hour, you're paying an additional 16 cents per gallon. So would you drive 60 on the freeway, 55 on the freeway? Would you do it? To save money? No, because gas is cheap. Is gas expensive? No, gas is cheap. Gas is dirt cheap. It is the cheapest thing you put in your car, and we just burn it. What other things do you take home and burn? Do you take your clothes home and burn? Do you take your books home and burn? Your furniture home, let's burn it. You burn gasoline. So for everyone, you got your ABCDs. I forgot to bring them again. I'm a goofball. I'm getting old. Got your ABCDs? Kenya's here. Did you pass this by Katina? So, for every 1 gallon of gasoline, now a gallon of pretty much everything weighs about 7 pounds. A gallon of gasoline weighs about 7 pounds. How much carbon dioxide do you pump into the atmosphere for every 1 gallon of gasoline? About 7 pounds of gasoline. Is it 7 pounds of carbon dioxide, 15 pounds of carbon dioxide, 125 pounds? It's not always D. It's 20 pounds. And how many people have taken chemistry? Here's the formula. It's not balanced. But what do you do when you get in the car? What the hell's going on? You're taking this stuff. What is that stuff? It's octane. That's gasoline. Now, gasoline is actually a mixture of a bunch of other stuff, but this is the main ingredient. It's 8 carbon atoms surrounded by hydrogen, and you are burning it, combining it with oxygen, and what comes out of your tailpipe? Water. Huh? Well, when you see a car just leaving from you, sometimes you'll see water spurt out of the gas, out of the exhaust pump. Now, after the car heats up, you don't see it anymore because it's vapor, it's water vapor. And then what's the other thing? Carbon dioxide. And what does carbon dioxide do once it gets in the atmosphere? Unless you're Republican, it traps energy underneath the carbon dioxide atmosphere. This is about 1% of carbon dioxide. It's going up, it's going up, it's going up. And so the world is warming. And I know Pinche Agent Orange, Trump, says, ooh, look how cold it is. We need some more warming. He doesn't understand the difference, or he doesn't care, between climate and weather. You know, the climate. I went out with a woman in the 1980s. She was adorable. She didn't want to marry me, so well. She worked at UCSD. She was a PhD student. She was a postdoc. She had already gotten her PhD. And she was saying, you know, these models say that if we keep doing this, the weather is going to get really, really extreme. We're going to go from really, really hot temperatures in the summer to really, really cold temperatures in the winter. And she was right. Okay, how much oil do we import? 12%, 24%, 40%, or 66%? How much oil? Some of you are picking D, C, A. It used to be D. We used to import 66% of our oil. But now we import, actually it's a little less than 24% now. Why? Because we're smart. We are brilliant. We're the United States of America. We're strong. Our oil companies have figured out a way to extract oil from places that they never thought they could anymore. It's called fracking. They're stupid when it comes to marketing. They should never have called it fracking. Can you imagine a better, worse word? Fracking. Hydraulic fracturing, fracking. But now we are not as dependent on foreign oil, and we are becoming less and less dependent. As we move toward much more conservation, our cars get a lot better mileage, and we produce more. So how much per person per year do we spend on imported oil? Is it $260, $409, $859, or $2240? It's actually only $260. Each one of us writes a check for $260. That goes to Saudi Arabia. That goes to Venezuela. But in the summer of 2008, we were spending over $2,000 per person on imported oil. But we are smart. We are sharp. We're doing our best to get rid of this. So let's see. $260 per person by 330 million people, that's $86 billion. And much of that is going to Saudi Arabia, the folks who really brought you 9/11. Please don't tell your Republican friends. How many barrels of oil does each of us consume in the United States every year? 2.5 barrels, 12.8, 21.5, or 112? It's 21 barrels. And that's some big barrels of crude, not the refined stuff. Each one of us is consuming that much. See, back in 1970, when people drove around in their living rooms, we were using 26.3 barrels. In 1978, right before the gas crunch, we had gone up to 31. Cars then were getting 8, 10, 12 miles a gallon, and you didn't care because gas was 30 cents a gallon. When it hit, when the gas crisis hit, and the price went up to $1, and all of a sudden there's gas again, we decided, you know, we got to do something about this, and that's when we started enforcing better mileage for cars. And look at how powerful we are. Look at how, when we put our minds to something, when we can agree on something, in 5 years we went from 31 down to 23.7 just by increasing the gas mileage from 12 miles to 22 miles to 24 miles per gallon. And then gas went below a dollar. Some of you weren't born yet, I remember. Everybody's going, a dollar a gallon, oh my God. A dollar a gallon, cool. And so people started driving around their living rooms in minivans and sport utility land barges, and we went back up. And then by 2007, 24, we're down to about 21 and a half. It seems, well, obviously the world is changing, but it seems that once gas hits $4.50, $5 a gallon, people really start to change their ways. And as long as it stays underneath that, people say, I'll go out and buy an SUV, no big deal. So, who wants a new car? Who wants a used car? Who wants a new car? Who wants a new car? Why do you want a new car, Kiana? Kenya? Because yours is old. What do you like about a new car? Much more reliable. Are new cars reliable? No.
Why do they give you so much warranty?
Why do they give you so much warranty? Because the competition. Because the Japanese started giving you a good warranty, and then the Koreans started giving you that 10-year, 100,000 mile, 10-year, the Hyundai and Kenya, not Kenya, yeah. Your Kenya, yeah. Kia. Okay, but do you like that new car smell? It's really good for you, folks. Breathe it in. It's good for your brain cells, liver, kidneys. What is that smell, by the way? It's the solvents in the plastic evaporating. The solvents. So it's really good for you. Keep breathing in. Who wants a used car? Who wants a used car? Why do you want a used car, Jose?
I like older models.
You like older models? Yeah. So you like, how old?
Like 2003.
2003, okay. Some people like really old cars. Why do you like a used car?
I like to buy used cars.
Because? Because
I just
you flip them?
Yeah, I flip them and I work on them too, so like, I know how to like
use them. Oh, cool. That's very, very useful. But you need a lot of tools now, right?
Yeah.
You need serious tools because I'm old. But I had a vehicle that anybody could work on. I had my buddies. We used to do it for fun. We used to work on this vehicle for fun. It was a slant six engine. And it had points. You guys know what points are. And it had, we actually replaced the manifold one time and the starter. I replaced the starter a bunch of times. And now it's very bad for the adult male psyche. You open up the hood and you can't even find the spark plugs, right? There's all this black stuff there and you don't even know where's the engine? Oh, it's in the back. So what other, somebody hit the use, what to use? Why do you want to use one? Yeah.
Right now I don't even have a car, so.
But why would you want to use one?
Well, for the reason.
Yeah. Do you like older? Oh, somebody works on it. Which one's going to be cheaper?
The used car.
Yeah, the used car. Almost always, comparing apples to apples, the used car is going to be a hell of a lot cheaper. So let's go buy a used car. Where do you get a used car? Offer what? Offer one up?
Offer up.
Offer up. It's a website. I'm sorry. Offer up. Okay. I didn't know. I'm old. The new car dealers, they will make more money off their used cars than they will off their new cars. So be careful. Used car dealers do not have a good rep. And I think private parties are the best, but you don't get any protection whatsoever. You're going to consult Consumer Reports. So I can see. Yes, I do. We're going to show this. I don't know when. Sometime today. We're going to show you this guy because this is. It looks like a good sports model. I don't make any money off of this story. And you go to the library. You get it for free. Cheap, like $30 a year. But their buying guide, their reliability statistics, I believe are second to none. Now, some people yell at them, but this company doesn't compile them. What they do is they send out tens of thousands of surveys to owners of vehicles who then report back what kind of deals, problems they've had with it. So I think they're pretty darn good. I think they're pretty reliable in terms of their reliability statistics. So would you inspect a used car? Would you?
Yes.
You don't even know where the spark plugs are. How the hell are you going to do it? I'll call it borrow. Pay them $100 to do it. Find an honest mechanic, pay them about $100 or so, maybe a little less, to inspect the car. And yes?
Yeah, when I sold my car, they had like a mechanic check it out and everything and like check the spark plugs.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to check it, so they pretty much invited guys and did it all. I think like
And you check the spark plug to see if there's any oil on them? Is that why you check the spark plug?
The guy was just checking the oil levels, everything.
Yeah, so...
He knew what he was doing, so...
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Okay, so what, pay him $50, $100, whatever, yeah, to do it. That's what I do. Eduardo, call Eduardo. And then, do you trust this Carfax company? They're supposed, they keep track of all the vehicles, and they do their best to make sure that the car has not been salvaged. But there are some entities that are not... Many of them are in Congress, in the White House. And what they do is they'll take a car that's been crashed or for whatever reason has been salvaged, and then they'll run them through a few different states and the salvage title disappears. So be careful. Why is a car salvaged? They got in a crash. What else salvages a car?
Repossession.
I know. Why is it salvaged? It was repossessed. It doesn't make its car's fine. Flood. A flood will salvage a car. Well, it's all electronic now, right? So the water got in there. Who knows what wreaks, what havoc it wreaked? And of course, if you get mold, I don't want to think about it. Okay. So how do you negotiate prices? Well, these three entities have buying guides, but I think Craigslist is the best place. Just see what people are asking, and realize they're not going to get what they ask, but. Depends on the vehicle. And then, do you have any friends who are car enthusiasts? I do. He's going to be really, really sad when all the cars go away. I mean, the drivers go away. All the drivers, the cars aren't going to go away. Because I ask him. I ask him what kind of vehicles. And I look at Consumer Reports. But he gets the, not this one, what is it? The Auto Trader. And he looks at cars that he hasn't driven before, like nice cars. You know, these are cars that are very expensive. And he acts like he's interested in buying. He's not, because he has an 84 Mustang, the 5-point liter, red with convertible. Every time he takes it out, people want to buy it from him. He says, no, I'm being buried in this car. And so he goes out and he asks if like, oh, I'm interested in this Audi TT or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. I'm not into cars. I don't like cars. I like bicycles. I didn't even have a car for a long time. I didn't even have a car. So now, okay, buy a new vehicle. Now the company's not stupid. They know that most people now, before they go to the lot, where do they go? They go to the internet. They do all their looking and I'm sorry, research on the internet. The average new car costs $30,000. Is that insane? $30,000, I can't imagine spending that much money on a car, but some people do. So $30,000, as soon as you drive it off the lot, what's it worth? $25,000, $24,000. As soon as you drive it off the lot, you lose, that's supposed to be it, whatever those things are, braces, supposed to be a brace. As soon as you drive it off the lot, you lose about 20%, so let's figure it's worth about $24,000. $25,000 as soon as you drive it off the lot. That's called depreciation. So in my humble opinion, I don't really like new cars unless you intend to keep it for 1 million years, because 20% gone. And I hate those advertisings because they sell the car with the bubble-headed bleach blonde. With the, you don't get the woman. Right, guys? Okay? Remember that. I know women are going, what's wrong with guys? Oh, a lot of things are wrong with us. Okay, would you buy a service contract? Would you? Don't. Not in my humble opinion. They are not good deals. Don't buy a service contract unless the car that you want, you really want to have this car, and you look up the reliability statistics, and it says, you know, this car has a horrible reliability statistic. I would stay away from these things. Because once they have the sale, this is what they're going to do, right? They're going to put you in a little interrogation room with bright garish lights. And a greasy little man with bad breath, bad teeth, and the smell of cheap cigars will then work you over, trying to get you to agree to purchase a service contract, undercoating, upholstery spray, as well as a timeshare in Cancun. You tell them, if you're interested in a new car, this is what I've done for people, because I help people buy stuff, because I love them sales. Tell them if they put you in that little room, you're going to walk away. They're going to try to work you over. So just say, I'm walking away. If you do this to me, if you try to get me, because for them it's pure profit. They'll often bring the price down in anticipation of selling you this crap. I mean, these things. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments? Anybody? Anybody get hit with the timeshare in Cancun? The one with the spray? $200 for a can of spray on the upholstery? Okay, good. Glad to hear it. Not my student. How do you negotiate the price? Anybody? Are you going to own a car? Maybe not. Maybe not. You're not going to even have to buy a car. Why? They're going to drive themselves, in which case Uber and Lyft are going to go down a whole lot because they don't have to pay the driver. And do you really want to own a car? Do you want to own something that drops 20% as soon as you drive it off the lot? Do you want to own something that sits in the parking lot 8 hours a day while you're working? It sits in your driveway 12 hours while you're sleeping? Cars are kind of dumb. Kind of dumb. We wear our clothes, you know, we wear them, hang on. We don't drive, we don't care. Some people, though, they love their cars. What can I say? I'm the worst person to do it. Some companies now have set prices. The big one was Saturn. You remember Saturn? They're gone. And Scion. They're gone. But now they'll talk to you, you know, would you go to your credit union? Credit unions, folks, they live and die by cars. They love cars. And car loans, that is. So they will help you buy your car and get a pretty darn good price. Would you buy your car online without even seeing it? No? You know which car you want? It's new, right? They'll drive it right to your lot. You don't even have to go to the... Well, some people do. And so you can go to Consumer Reports, Edmunds, Kipling, and they will tell you what the car is charged to the dealership. In fact, if you talk to the dealerships, they'll often show you their invoice. They'll say, you know, this is what we're paying for it. But is that what they really pay for it? Alvaro says no. Why? What's going on? At the end of the month, they get what's called their incentive, which lowers the price of most cars, depending if they're a dealership that sells a lot of cars. It'll lower the price 3 to 5%. So they're not really, that's what it says they're paying, but they're not really paying that. They can go lower. Where do you get the financing? Your bank? Or with them, with the dealer? Are you going to get a better deal at a credit union, bank, or the dealership? Typically, the credit union is going to give you the best deal. Now, some dealers have these awesome deals. Oh, 0.9% financing. But you know what? You don't get to take advantage of the $2,000 rebate or whatever. So my personal opinion, if you're going to finance a car, go talk to your credit union. They love you. They'll tell you how much we'll give. Every couple of months, I get this thing in the mail from Mission Federal. They love me. You're pre-qualified for a $50,000 car. I ain't buying a car for $50,000. Unless I can live in it. You know, if I live in the car, then I'll buy it. If I can rent it out, then maybe better. So think about it. Think about it. You just put down how much on this $30,000 car? How much did you put down? You put $5,000? Not many. People put down $3,000. Let's say you put down $3,000. That's 10%. How much do you owe? $27,000. How much is the car worth? $24,000. What if you get a car crash on the way home from the dealership? Yeah. So talk to your insurance. We'll discuss insurance not after next week. And talk to them about gap insurance. It stands for Guaranteed Asset Protection. They will insure the vehicle for the entire amount of the loan. Some will insure the vehicle for the purchase price, I think for a year or something like that. So they'll insure it so that if you do get it going to crash on the way home, then you will get your car back. I just can't imagine owning a car that much. Upside down equity, did we talk about this? We'll discuss this when we get to housing. Upside down equity, negative equity means we owe more than the vehicle is worth. And that's typical when you buy a new car and put down 10% because it goes down 20%. Do you want good news? Sorry. Cars. Cars kill us. Cars kill us with kindness. Would you lease a vehicle? No. What does leasing mean, really? You're renting it. You don't own it. There are some advantages. You know, there's a smaller cash outflow. There are lower monthly payments. And businesses tend to, depending on the business, if you get into accounting, you'll see why, like leases. They like leases because the business doesn't own it. If something goes wrong with the business, just get rid of it. What are disadvantages? What are the disadvantages? You don't own it. It ain't your car, right? There are certain requirements you have to meet. Well, it's not a big deal. But here's the kicker. If you buy a car, I mean, you lease a car, and then after the 3 years are up, if you went over the 10,000 or 12,000 miles per year, they're going to hit you with a 25 cents per mile. What do you think of that? Yes, Francis. Well, next slide. Next slide. Yeah, good idea. Some, a lot of times, yeah, because you come back 3 years later with the keys. Here's the car. They go, oh, no. Maybe you want to buy it. You're almost guaranteed to spend more over the long term leasing rather than buying. Sound like a test question? Okay, but what if you're the kind of person who wants to own a new car every 2 or 3 years? You're that kind of person. You're going to spend a ton of money on vehicles no matter what. If you want to either buy or lease a new car every 2 or 3 years, my advice, just lease it. You're going to get soaked anyway. Right? And then when you go back, if you buy it and try to sell it back, you're not going to get what you think it's worth. It's typically half the value in 3 years. It's going down 20% in 1 5-minute period. In 3 years, it's going to go down probably about 50%. Depends on the vehicle. So this gets back to this. Who was that? Who said that? I forget. Was it Noah? Did someone say that? Okay. Francisco, buying it back. The large number of leases gives you, a used car buyer, an excellent opportunity. Because typically leaseholders take very good care of their cars. They have to, because when they bring it back, if they don't, they're going to get charged. They keep it under the mileage, 10,000, 12,000 miles per year. So somebody leases a sport utility tank for $45,000, right? A Lincoln aggregator or something. Aggravator? What are they called? Navigator. Lincoln Navigator. Are they still around? Or a Chevy, Chevy Tahoe. And so they lease this thing. Now, they come back 3 years later. In the lease, the residual value, or also called the lease end value, is $32,000. So, Francisco, you want to buy this vehicle? It's $32,000. What? You look in Craigslist or you look on the Auto Trader, and they're selling for around 20 grand or so, $22,000. Remember, they've gone down half in value in 3 years. So the leasee, that's why they lease. They say, no, here's the keys. I don't want it. So now the leasing company's got to get rid of it. And they'll sell it for 20 grand. Are you with me? So is a three-year-old car still in very good condition? No. Not the way I drive. Not the way you drive. The way I drive, no, it's not good. The way I drive, yes, it's good condition. You know, another thing that people don't like about these driverless cars, they're going to drive like your grandmother. Why? Because it's safer, right? It's safer. They're going to drive safely, and people are pissed off like a damn. I mean, they can't zoom ahead and stop at the next light and all the people catch up with me. Okay, or, you know, buy an EconoBox new. If you want to buy something new, buy something new for $16,000. Okay, so what kind of vehicle? Got your ABCDs? Okay, this is according to our authoritative, detailed scientific research. We have found that the larger the motor vehicle, the smaller the IQ of the driver. Or the more fragile the ego of the driver, or the greater the sense of powerlessness within and anger toward the society around them? Or is it D, the more microscopic the reproductive organ? Yeah, it's all of the above. Okay. My sincerest apologies to any of those of you who own a Ford Extinction. Not really. I have a little story to tell. This is a long time ago when I used to be a programmer. I was working over the summer at Solar Turbines, if you can believe it. And there was a group of about seven, eight programmers, me being a part, and I was just there for summer. And the woman who was in charge was the project manager, and a nerd woman. I mean, all the guys just loved this woman. If you ladies, if you want to have incredible dates all the time, find men like crazy, get into computers, learn how to program, you will have guidance. So we went to lunch one day, and we're walking back, and out of the parking lot, this guy in this huge vehicle, I forget what it was, some kind of panel truck or something like that, and big tires, you know, there's bigger the tires, the smaller the IQ, he squeals out and takes off, and she says some remark about the size of his reproductive organ. And one of the guys goes, I have a Honda Civic. I said, I have a Toyota Tercel. I wish I was the first one. Okay. I wish he came up to her. I have a Honda Civic. Okay, so how much does it cost to have a vehicle? How much does it cost to actually own and run and operate a vehicle? So here are the costs, the seven fixed costs, and we'll forget parking and tolls. So what you're going to do, on the left-hand side is your guess, and then the right-hand side will come up with the answer, is to guesstimate what's the most expensive, what's the least expensive. One being the most expensive, and seven being the least expensive. Depreciation, finance charge, insurance, license registration and taxes, gas and oil, tires, maintenance and repairs, forget the parking and tolls. Yes? Okay, want to send some that way? My apologies. Everybody got one? No? Yeah, yeah. You got to wake up there, passing by. Okay, got some extras? You have any extras over there? Okay. So take about 30, 40 seconds. Don't overthink it because it's not being tested. What do you think is the most expensive, number one? What's the least expensive, number seven? It's when it comes to operating a vehicle. Oh boy. Okay, what do you got? Okay, let's take a look. Okay, here we go. What's the biggest expense? You think it's gasoline, right? No. The fact that that car is sitting out in the parking lot, depreciating, is the biggest expense when you own a third. This is a $30,000 typical car, you know, I don't know, Ford, what's that nice car? The Fusion, the Ford Fusion, Chevy Impala, which is disappearing, Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, really a nice $30,000 car. So what's next? Gas and insurance. Insurance. I mean, even if you don't use the car, if you just sit there, you got to pay insurance. Then goes down to maintenance, which I think is a little high for new vehicles. 800, I think they're amortizing it over the life of the vehicle. Because the first few years of the car, there's not much you got to do anymore. They're so darn reliable. But then license registration, the registration here in California is kind of expensive. And look at the finance charge. This used to be a lot higher when interest rates were higher. It's gone down quite a bit. And then tires are something you buy every 4 or 5 years. So the number two typically item in your cash flow statement is what? Cars. Cars and depreciation cars. And this is the cool promise. People don't really think the car is so much part of our culture that they can't imagine a day when they don't actually own one. And when that happens, when that day happens, which is coming, I don't know when, I don't know, it's 5, 10 years, it's going to happen because economically it's going to make a lot of sense. You're going to see your friends who have far more disposable income, far less expenses, so that they can do a hell of a lot more with their lives and not be slave to the car that's killing us with kindness. Make sense? You decide. I'm not sure. You're going to decide. You're in your generation are not buying cars at the same rate that previous generations have. And there's a lot of questions why this is. Some people say student loan debt. Other people say, no, they don't need one. They can go to Uber and Lyft. And now they got the scooters they can get around with. And I don't know. Those scooters scare the hell out of me. Don't they scare you? I mean, they're great as long as you're on a very flat surface. But the hospitals are seeing lots of people show up with these, you know, incredible injuries because those tires are only this big and you have a rut in the road that big and you go flying up the road. Get a bicycle. Okay, let's continue. All right, so according to the AAA, and this is where I got this data from, and I'll show you on the website. According to the AAA, what's the average cost per mile to own and operate a new medium-sized, $30,000 car? Is it 12.5 cents, 24.8, 50, 40.8, 57? It's actually almost 60 cents a mile. So at the typical 15,000 miles per year, which people drive, some people drive a lot less, that's over $8,000 per year per car. And so we're talking about 40 years, if you have two cars, there's a lot of years disposable income over the 40 years that you're working. In the 1980s, a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Pond did a study, and this is when cars were just getting much more reliable. The Japanese were really pushing the envelope in terms of reliability. You buy a new car every 4 years versus buying a new car every 10 years, investing the savings, including the cost of maintenance. At the end of 40 years, you have $350,000, and those were $1980. Double it for now. My advice is to buy a new, reliable, or used reliable car running into the ground. Would you be in a car? See, I loved my Toyota Tercel. I didn't want to sell it. I didn't want to get rid of it. I sold it for a pizza. It wasn't worth anything. My boss at the brokerage firm, my wife, my mechanic was saying, you got to get another car. I said, but every time I put money in it, every time I put gas in it, I double its value. Who's going to steal this car? My only problem is when I went to a brokerage client, I had to park about a quarter mile away. And I sold to a woman who was pretty destitute for a pizza. And she never registered it. I got a parking ticket a few months later. Said, no, I sold the car 3 months ago. Oh, okay. So Forbes says it's closer to $12,000 per year, but they deal with reliable cars. So where do you service your car? Where do you service? Alvaro does it himself. Your father does it? Yeah. My advice is to find an honest mechanic, stay loyal to them. You ever heard of Car Talk? It's off the air now, but they still have the mechanics files. It's like Yelp. Would you go to some of these discount shops? Yeah, we'll do your oil change for $20. What else are they going to do? Look at all this work that needs to be done. You really need to do it. We think you should do it. You should do it. We can't let you leave. It's too dangerous. So the bottom line on cars, have I bored you enough? Get a bicycle. Get a scooter. Get a motorcycle. Get training. The CHP authorized training is awesome. I took it a million years ago. I used to ride a motorcycle. I used to ride a scooter until some jerk hit me, broke 7 ribs. I bought a car. Spent 3 days in the hospital, and my wife cried, and I bought a car. I didn't want a car, but I got a car. Get a scooter. I have over 58,000 miles on my bicycles for a commuting. I don't commute. People still think I commute to Southwestern. I do every once in a while, but mostly not. I saved over $33,000 plus a tremendous amount of health care costs because I was a paunchy 30-something suffering from sedentary lifestyle disease. And don't forget the savings to the environment. And the best part, it's not there anymore, but there used to be a gym. There used to be a gym right down here, right across from the high school and the junior high. I just came up Otay Lakes Road. And I would pass people waiting to get in the gym in their car on my bicycle. Figure that one out. And it's going to get worse. So, you going to get a bicycle? No? Because it's amazing. Do you want gas prices? Where is it? Here it is. If high gas prices got you down, what can you do? Get a bicycle, right. And in fact, bicycles are so cool in some cultures that they use them for pretty much everything. That's the Coca-Cola machine. And then in Portland, they have this, I'm not going to show the whole thing because it's kind of long. In Portland, Oregon, they have this this culture where when somebody's about ready to move, they have these websites that they say, okay.
You know, when Aileen posted on the list, she said thanks to Timo for making sure that it happened, because she wasn't going to do the bike move. She was like, ah, I'll get some drugs. I was like, Aileen, you must do the bike move.
And then the next thing she said was, thanks to Dan for really making it happen. Like, it totally wouldn't have happened at all. Like, Timo did this whole bit, so like that.
Yeah, we're all
here.
We're getting
all the time. So I think the whole point of the bike move is for everyone to get together and have an end destination where a lot of crap shows up and a lot of drinking.
So it's a party, right? About somebody. Let's see if we can find the.
Come on, man.
Let's see if we can find.
Look at that. Look, this is what happens at a bike move.
Yeah.
Here, is that the couch? Somebody's pulling a couch on their bicycle? Here, there's the couch. Do you want to carry your couch on a bicycle? And then somebody has a boat somewhere. Is the party going on outside? Okay. Someone's here. All right, so now. Okay, so you're going to get a bicycle? And think about it, folks. In an earthquake, are you going to be able to get down to where you want to go in a car? But if you have a bicycle, you can get to where you need to go. Think about it. Yeah? Okay. All right, so now, enough of that. Have you ever heard of Consumer Reports? Okay, here it is. Consumer Reports. In April, and in their annual buying guide, they show reliability statistics. And so it's a little hard to transfer it to the big screen here, but it works. If you see an up arrow green, two up arrows, that means very good. One up arrow is good, and then where's the medium? The medium is just sort of there's the median, that's okay, average. And then one down arrow is worse than average, and then two down arrows are far worse than average. So who makes Acura?
Honda.
Yeah, it's Honda's upscale version. It's a Honda, but some of them are very nice. How's the reliability statistics? Pretty darn good, yeah. Okay, what about Audi? Can you see that? Let's make it a little bit bigger. So how's Audi? Oh, here's BMW. Audi was up there. Let's go back. There's Audi. I'm sorry. There's Audi. How's Audi? Pretty good. That Q5, though. That's a big SUV, yeah, not so great. But not bad. But what do you spend for an Audi? 30 green. You're lucky if you can get 30. No, $60,000, $70,000. But people who own these cars, they don't care. They don't think twice about spending $1,000 or more a month on a car. I think it's insane. But, you know, they have, that's their lifestyle. And they don't usually keep them. They don't usually keep their Audis. They usually either lease them or buy a new one every few years. Now, what about big money wasters? I'm sorry, break my wallet. Not, you notice the fours, they don't exist outside the United States. It's like, oh, the fours. Here, the ones, they don't exist outside the United States. They say, let's break up the marketplace and see people at different price points. But not bad. The problem is once something goes wrong with a big money waster, oh my God, is it expensive. Okay? In fact, I remember, this is a full story. I had a boss, she's not here at Southwest anymore, but she was an administrator down at San Ysidro. I taught at San Ysidro. She had a big money waster. And it had a, still, I guess it still does, but it had a seat warmer, right, in the front on both sides. The one on the passenger side had stuck on, right? And so her daughter was pissed. She didn't want to sit in the back, so she wanted it fixed. This was in the late 90s. Almost $800, almost $1,000 to fix a seat warmer. I would have found the wire, cut the wire, and said, there, it's fixed. San Diego, you don't need a seat warmer. And so that's how expensive they are. So how about Buicks? Actually, pretty darn good, huh? GM, do you know that Buick sells more Buicks in China? GM sells more Buicks in China than they sell in the United States. Buick is the Mercedes-Benz, is the Lexus in China. Now, Mercedes-Benz is trying to change that. Lexus will never change that because the Chinese hate the Japanese. But so they're trying to change that perception. What about Cadillac? Yeah, not bad. Now, what about Chevy? Camaro, Colorado, not bad. What do we got here? This is what angered me. Much, much, much better than it used to be. Their reliability statistics are much better than they used to be. But they're still not, wait till we get to Honda and Toyota. They're still not up with the Japanese. There's the Chevy, Traverse. And the Volt, they're getting rid of it, but it was a pretty amazing car. Okay, questions, thoughts? Now, yes, question? Okay. They do their best to find the recalls, but that's the National Highway Institute, something or other, National NHTSA, it's called, National Highway Institute, Traffic Safety or something, administration. So, what about Chrysler? Not bad, I don't know. Chrysler is now owned by Fiat. Where's Fiat based? Italy, right. You know what Fiat stands for? Fix it again, Tony. I'm Italian. You guys aren't that excited about this. I get excited about this stuff. Okay, so where's Dodge? Ugh. Dodge. Not great, is it? Not great. Especially that Caravan, the Durango. But now look at that C-Max. Edge. Little sport utility vehicle. But Ford has gotten a whole lot better. In fact, here it is, folks. Here's the most popular vehicle in the United States of America. Ford F-150 vehicle. That's a vehicle, not a car. It's a truck. It sells more vehicles than any other vehicle in the United States. The 250, they don't sell as many. Ford Fiesta is going away. The Ford Flex is going away. The Ford. Are they going to keep the Focus? The Ford Fusion's going away. They're going to keep the Mustang. They're going to get rid of the Taurus. They're going to get rid of most of their cars because people want sport utility vehicles. Now, what's this Genesis? Who owns Genesis?
Hyundai,
yeah. And they're supposedly very nice cars. They look nice, but I don't know if Hyundai's going to get away with this because, you know, GM has Cadillac, Toyota has Lexus, Honda has Acura. Okay, but Genesis, supposedly they're great cars. Now look at GMC. But now wait till you get Pacific. Oh, there's a red. But when you get to Hondas, you see this sea of green. There's the GM. And then you go to the Hondas. Look at that. And then there are more Hondas over here. Look over here. Honda. Now, why is that? Where are most Hondas? The Honda Fit is actually built in Mexico. But where are most Hondas that are sold here in the United States? Where are they built? In the United States. They're built here in the United States. And some people will say, well, we haven't gotten to, yeah, we did. We'll get to Toyota, but they're all also built here. Now, some people will say, yes.
Well, I was just going to ask you, did you find this, list from
the... Oh, it's the April issue. You can get it at the library. It's called Consumer Reports. And you can't get it online unless you subscribe. So it doesn't matter if you buy the magazine or you subscribe, you get the same thing. But just go to the library. And they also, the same data is in their annual buying guide. But get the April issue because it's in color. The buying guide's black and white. So why? How come Honda has such good results? Look at that. And how come GMC, Chevy? Some people will point to the American workers. Ah, it's the American workers. But wait a minute. Most of all the Japanese cars that are sold here are built here. So is it the American worker? No, it's not. It's not. In fact, it's an incredible case study. For those of you who are into business, in the 1980s, GM was, concerned because people were more and more thinking, well, our cars are crap. Well, they were. They were having a hard time. They were not very good. The 1970s were the dark ages of GM and Chrysler and Ford. And so GM got together with Toyota. They took one of their plants, the Fremont plant in Fremont, California, near the Bay Area. It was the worst, it was the plant that was producing the worst vehicles in GM's history. I mean, these vehicles, they were just garbage. Parts were not even put on there right, and they'd be rattling around in the door. They'd open the door and a beer can would fall out. I mean, we laugh, but they're drinking beer while they're working. I mean, and all of a sudden the beer can falls. Oh, big deal. And so GM said, well, Toyota, why don't you take over this plant? Take over this plant. And they started building the best cars that GM ever built. The Chevy Nova from the 1980s. It was called Geo Metro, same car. Geo Prism was the same car, Geo Metro. And a few other cars that were the best cars all of a sudden that GM made. It was the same worker. It was the same workers. The same union. That plant is now owned by Tesla. That's where the Teslas are being built, in that same plant, that Fremont plant. Cool? So is it the American worker? No. What is wrong with our companies as they do this? Okay, so let's go. Hyundai? How's Hyundai? Much better. When they first came out, they were pretty good. They were garbage. That Santa Fe, that one right there, gets a lot of good press. What about Jeep? You want a Jeep? Oh, but aren't they fun to drive? People just love that Mystique, but how's the reliability? Again, it's better than it was, but it's still not that great. So who do we want to? Now here, we get the Kia. Kia is much better than they were. In fact, some of them are. There's Kia, much better than they were. Now look when we get to Lexus. Again, a sea of green. Lexus is, it's Toyota. But most of the Lexuses are built in Japan. Some of them are built here. the RX, the R something or other. But most of the Lexuses are the NX. They're built here. But most of the Lexuses are built here. Is it Lexi? And then Lincoln? There's Lincoln. I'm sorry. There's Lincoln. How's Lincoln? Not so great. How about Mazda? Mazda's pretty good. Mazda's got pretty good reliability. And then when you get to Mercedes-Benz, where do you get the Mercedes-Benz? Not bad. When something goes wrong, it's a fortune. How about the Mini Pooper? Who owns Mini Pooper? BMW. BMW. They're actually BMW. They're basically assembled in the UK. And now I'm wanting to get the Toyota here. So let's take a look at Nissan. No, Nissan's pretty good. Nissan's pretty good. We'll take a look at, slow down. There's a Nissan. Again, most Nissans are built here. More Nissans. That Rogue, I don't know about it. I'm not a big fan of sport utility vehicles. Pathfinder's not bad. The Sentra, they're going to get rid of that. They're going to get rid of the Sentra. Many of them are built in Mexico, by the way. And then, what is that? The Ram, a Porsche. Yeah, I forget Porsche. But there's the Ram, which is a pickup truck. And then Subaru. Subaru has very good reliability statistics, but not as good as Honda and Toyota, which I was surprised. But they're vaulted as having some of the best reliability statistics. Some of them, yeah. Look at the Outback and the Cross. But now, finally we get to, forget the Teslas. We get to the Toyotas. Again, a sea of green. Are Toyotas boring? Yeah. Some people say, they're boring cars. Who cares? They get you from point A to point B and back again. They're going to come out with the Supra again. You aficionados? No, they're not going to do it? It's a BMW engine? Why would Toyota do that? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, that's what they did. They put a BMW engine in the new Supra. And then, okay, who likes Volkswagens? Who likes what's this? Volkswagens, well, they're getting rid of the Beetle. Look at the Toyota Tundra, very good reliability electric. But who likes VWs? Who wants a VW? What? They smell like crayons? I don't know. I don't have one. But they're popular with younger folks. Do they have very good reliability statistics? No, not very good. Better than they used to. Most of them are built in Mexico. And then the last one is Volvo. There's going to be a Volvo. Who owns Volvo now? Do you know? It's a company called Chery or Cherry. It's based in China, believe it or not. It used to be owned by Ford. Ford used to own Volvo. And we're going to see some Chinese Volvos soon, built in China. But all of them are still built in Sweden. So which car do you want? Japanese, built in the United States, reliable, how boring. Okay, well, we won't start here. We're a little bit done, but I feel really, really badly if I let you go too early. So what am I going to show you? Okay. Oh, yeah, I was going to show you the 18 chart. So go on the website if you want to see this. On the website, there's the AAA. This is where I got the statistics for the driving course. Okay? And then one last thing, I'll let you go. You're not going to drink and drive, right? If I showed you the scary one, let's show you a funny one. Where is it? Here it is. This is an instant DUI. They're giving him the breathalyzer right here. Take the breathalyzer. And the cops just crack up because the guy thinks the breathalyzer is above. Okay. Housing on Thursday. Excuse me.